This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. Lots of things going on. And, you know, Donald Trump, bad boys, bad boys, catches everybody with their pants down. Or was he listening to his base saying, oh, we're revolted, Donald? Or was Donald Trump giving people rope? Why? Because revised spending bill, $5.7 billion, no strings attached, glides through the House. Nancy Pelosi sitting there going, After she told him, of course, it'd never get through the House. What did it do? It went through the House. And here we are with $5.7 billion on the table. That's more than he asked. Just giving rope to people like Ann Coulter and even Rush Limbaugh. Everybody's just, the complaints. Everybody's saying, well, he caved because of those complaints. And Ann Coulter lashing out at him. Of course, we didn't say that. No. No one, is it that, I don't know. You just don't know Donald Trump? Who this guy is? He's playing big time. Hello? Excuse me, but he was a Democrat. He knows how the Democrats roll, by the way. He's got the playbook. He gets it. That's what has them so flummoxed, is that he gets it, and they know they get it from him. Donald Trump. And not only that, but he has an interesting way of flushing out those who hate him. I say hate. And, you know, even kind of side with the haters. He has a very interesting way of, well, outing them. Right, Rush? Right, Ann? Just a little commentary here, I guess, at the very beginning of this. But this is, as the world turns, we get $5.7 billion for the budget for the wall. And now it goes on to the Senate. Are they going to pull the pin on the nuclear option? Now, I was under the impression that for funding bills you can't do that, but maybe I'm wrong, apparently. And I take that, accept that, because I was saying, I was telling some people the other day, I don't think he can do that, but apparently he can. And if they can, Mitch, it's time for that itch to get going, right? Get rid of your itch, Mitch, and pull a pin on the nuclear option. Make it happen, Mitch. Of course, you're going to need some Democrats even now because, you know, Jeff Flake leaves town. Thank God Jeff Flake has left town. See, Donald Trump, see, what people don't get, this is just the first 2 years of cleaning the swamp, and he's done a pretty good job in the first 2 years. And now those somewhat naysayers who have got 1 foot in and 1 foot out with Donald Trump, they just don't get it. You know, I learned a big lesson at CPAC in 2016. And there is a picture, I'm going to have to bring it forward again, of me sitting at CPAC. I was a surrogate Donald Trump representative at CPAC. It's a fact. I'm pictured right there in the booth for Trump 2016 presidency. I was right there. Their booth was right next to ours at Red State Talk Radio. Right next to ours. Right next to ours. Yeah. And I happened to be in the booth. I was the only guy there. I didn't. In fact, it was a vacant booth. I didn't know why it was vacant. I didn't care. I had to do some work, show prep, because we had these, you know, things out there in the hallway and stuff like that. Radio rows, they call it. And you know, it was interesting. I just occupied the booth at the table. I said, I got to do the show prep. So I'm sitting down there at the table, and people start walking up to me asking me questions about Trump. I'm going, well, yeah, I like the president. I'm on board for Trump. Yeah, you know. And I'm kind of just chit-chatting, and there's a line that's forming to talk to me. I thought, wow, I'm really popular. They see the Agenda 21 radio on my shirt and go, wow, you must be Paul Preston. they didn't know who I was from squat. But they were asking me about Donald Trump. I had no clue. No clue. And I'm going, yeah, the president this, the president that, yeah, or the president running for president, the candidate this, the candidate that, yeah, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. And what was I doing? I was sitting there going, what do we do now? Everybody's asking you questions about Donald J. Trump. I didn't realize, and I finally said to one guy, there's a line of 20-some people behind me, out in front of me on the table. And I'm sitting there going, what is going on here, ladies and gentlemen? Why is it me? Why is it me that they're talking to? And it turns out, I said to one of the guys, why are you asking me so many questions about Trump? He says, well, aren't you the representative of Trump? I said, no, not really. He says, well, why are you sitting in this booth? I said, what do you mean? It's an empty booth. He goes, no, look behind you. So I look up on the wall. I didn't realize it said Trump for president 2016. That was his booth. He wasn't there at CPAC because people were turned on him. They were turned on Donald Trump. They hated Donald Trump. The Trump haters were there. Mark Levin. Glenn Beck. And all the acolytes from Fox News. The haters, they hated Donald Trump. And the vitriol was real. And you know what they did? The Trump campaign said, you know, we're not going to show up for our Saturday speech, which I had changed all my airplane reservations and everything. I was going to see Donald Trump in action. But he said, no, I'm not coming because they hate me there. And who was leading the group? Oh, all the Fox News commentators. Except for Hannity. Of course, Hannity was brilliant. Lesson learned. Lesson learned at that one for me. That Donald Trump does not forget who hates him. Or in the past, who has hated on him. That is a fact. Donald J. Trump never forgets. You talk about an elephant with a memory. He's got it, Ann Coulter. And Rush. And all those other people who are doubting him in this moment of, hydrama. He's in charge. And you know what? Now he has the Democrats and even some of those Republicans in such a bad bind. And he knows it. He gave them rope and they took it. And he went, doink, it's back in my land. It's back with me. I am the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? As our friend Will Johnson from Unite America for always says, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wake up tomorrow and Donald J. Trump is still going to be our president. So get over it. Anyway, I think we have Scott Adams. Scott Adams, I think, with us. I got to get some volume things adjusted here, so we can bring him up in a second to try to figure out what is going on here in the studio of Agenda 21 Radio. So, Scott, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. Well, you know, Donald J. Trump pulls it off again, and people who doubted him, as you know, like we saw from CPAC a couple years ago, they're kind of like sitting around eating, you know what?
You know what I think is funny? I think it's funny that Donald J. Trump pulled Ann Coulter off of his Twitter following. He's no longer. Yeah. He's still following 45 people, but he's not following Ann Coulter. That was a note.
Banished from the realm. Message. Banished from the realm.
Yeah, I thought Ann that Coulter. Was funny. You know, I got to tell you also, I mean, he really made Nancy Pelosi look stupid with her, you know, basically her promise that he doesn't have the votes. Well, he got the votes. And he is proving to be the master legislator, not Nancy Pelosi, who self-describes herself that way. But, yeah, I mean, this is a really great opportunity for the Senate to actually get rid of that stupid filibuster rule. Steve Daines is probably right from Montana. You know, don't think for one second that the Democrats wouldn't go nuclear in this particular situation.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and
you know,
we need
say
to.
Nuclear, what is it? It's a simple majority. You know, it was the filibuster rule that really was the exception to the normalcy in the Senate. It's not the other way around. This would be actually – going nuclear would actually be going normal.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, the thing is – you know, Scott, maybe you can help clarify this for me because I was under the impression that a spending bill – it was only reserved the nuclear option for certain types of bills, and a spending bill was not part of that. Apparently, I'm wrong.
I think it's been abused. You're right. I mean, you're absolutely right that it used to be that the filibuster rule was an exceptional thing. And now it's become sort of like the norm. You need 60 votes in the Senate. Well, that's ridiculous. And Trump is right, and so is Steve Daines with regard to that particular issue. And, you know, the thing is that Trump is leaving for 16 days on a vacation. And the situation is the media is going to pound him like never before if he's down in Mar-a-Lago with government shutdown. But he has made it very clear that, you know, the House, they flew in from all parts of the world to make sure that they won that vote. And they did it. Now, the Senate needs to do their part. And Mitch McConnell is going to have to do some soul searching. But one of the things I think you really have to look at with regard to the Senate, and Mitch McConnell is going to take a look at this, I'm sure, is, you know how like in this midterm there was 25, 26 Senate seats that were being contested, defended by Democrats.
Right.
And 10 or 11 of them were in red states, and it's looking pretty bad for them. It was a perfect storm against them. Well, we got to look at the matrix. We got to look at the situation in 2020 as to the likelihood and the reality of us keeping the Senate versus not keeping the Senate. And I think that really is going to be one of the things they have to look at when they make the decision to either go nuclear or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that is, really. I do know this, though, that we are probably going to pick up a Senate seat out of New Hampshire with Maggie Hassan, who, you know, it turns out that the doxing involved classified information, and it's a lot worse than they expected during the Kavanaugh hearing, the doxing that was going on. She's probably going to have to resign because she didn't do her due diligence when she hired that IT person, and she put him up to it. So she's going to have to step aside, and the New Hampshire governor happens to be a Republican, Chris Sununu.
Well,
so
you know, that's
he's gonna obviously appoint a conservative.
The charges against her and by the way, there was something I read about the Kavanaugh hearing. Everybody's dropped all charges of, you know, improprieties against him or whatever. One of the agencies that was looking into him, of course, he's got a clean slate. But this whole IT business with Ms. Hassan is part of a bigger, obviously, issue that, you know, they feel comfortable in their own skin on the Democratic side to use IT people in this fashion to put disinformation out to spy on people and so on. We've seen this, of course, with
Brian Pagliano.
Pagliano. We've seen it with a whole group of Democrats that they use these guys to get their information out. It's A1 blatant. Brothers. It's blatant. Yeah, the Awan brothers. It's blatantly illegal. I'm questioning why in the heck hasn't something happened yet. But I know that what I believe is going to happen with the Justice Department, there's going to be some shakeups here coming after the next beginning of the year.
Let's not forget about CrowdStrike. And then there's a department that Tory, one of the shows that follows your show, Tory says, well, that's an interesting thing, too, because she was talking about something called Harris IT. And that's an interesting development, too.
This
Harris
is with
IT,
John Brennan, I believe.
I don't know the details of this particular thing, but you're going to hear more and more about this. But, yeah, these IT departments have been used as weapons. CrowdStrike, we know, run by Sean Hayes, an FBI guy that was working directly for Obama, was actually controlling the DNC. And then we find out recently that the RNC got hacked. And who are they using? CrowdStrike.
Right.
You know, CrowdStrike. What a company.
Well, you
and
know,
then, you know, it's always turning up, too, that Perkins Coie seems to be the law firm associated with all this cabal.
You know, this was something that you brought out months and months and months ago, maybe years now, I don't know, about Perkins Coie and their involvement. But I want to get back into this Harris group because they have been instrumental in so many different things. But now the name John Brennan crops up because I believe he's affiliated with it. Now,
that's
when you
right.
say John Brennan, you're starting to talk now about what was going on with everything happening in the Ukraine and all this other stuff. Of course, he's
well,
the one who was behind
Harris
all
IT's
that.
Attorney is?
Perkins Coie.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, this is something, again, I want to say you brought this up years. I don't know if it's years ago, how long it was about Perkins Coie, because I remember we talked about it numerous times on our radio shows that and you were on the show talking about it. But the whole connect the dot to the Ukraine, I think, is going to be once everybody connects that dot to the Ukraine and how the Ukraine was overthrown by Brennan et al., including Obama, the whole setup and about you go back to when Obama was a senator and he visited the Ukraine almost in preparation for his presidency and the toppling of the Ukrainian government, which was leaning towards Putin, of course, at the time. Which followed the Benghazi situation, which followed the setup of ISIS. Remember that whole thing about ISIS being set up? Because, and it's interesting, we have President Donald Trump, maybe we'll come back to this at the end of the hour, but Donald Trump, of course, is now pulled out of Syria, thank God. And everybody's worried, ISIS is going to form again. Really? Well, you know, they're not going to be financed this time by President Obama or Hillary Clinton. I don't think Trump's in any mood to finance.
That's just it, Paul.
Refinance.
You hit the nail on the head there. And that's so true. You know, it is true that Obama, when he pulled out too early, a lot of George W. Bush's prognostication came true. Right. But that was a whole different landscape.
It was a setup.
Because what was being done back then was there was this overthrow of Gaddafi. Right.
Yep.
And then there was the overthrow in Egypt of Mubarak. And then there was the prop up and the release from Camp Bucca for al-Baghdadi. And then taking the Libyan booty and sending out on a ship and financing ISIS to destabilize Syria, who wasn't going to go away.
Right.
Not only did Russia have an important naval base there, but they understood that what was going on with the Qatar pipeline. And so they understood that there was going to be a shift and a balance of power shift in that region. He didn't get a status of forces agreement in Iraq, and he was blowing up Syria. He was blowing up Egypt. He was blowing up Libya. He was opening up Iraq, and then he was giving Iran $150
billion
in
with
money.
With a B, by the way.
All in the name of basically expansion of the European globalist movement to pretty much do a big, huge power grab out of the Middle East and depend less on Russia. Lindsey Graham was part of that whole cabal. That's why Lindsey Graham made so much to do out of the Khashoggi thing. That's why Time magazine named Khashoggi Man of the Year. That's what joke. If you hate America, you're going to get Man of the Year for Time magazine. But, you know, that's where this all is right now. And so Trump had an understanding with Putin that Assad is going to go ahead and we chose a horse. It's not going to be al-Baghdadi that's going to run Syria. It's going to be Assad. And Assad's going to run it. Better the devil you know than the one you don't. But Assad's going to run it. Syria is going to go back to where it was 10 years ago, maybe more stable, right? Or 15 years ago. It's going to be a more stable, healthy Middle East. And not only that, but the only thing you could do after Obama did what he did with Iran was you couldn't put the genie back in the bottle. So what you had to do is match Iran dollar for dollar and bring them to their knees with sanctions and bring them to their knees by pushing Saudi Arabia to increase oil production, drive the price of barrel of oil down around 50 bucks a barrel. So it's crushing Iran and it's creating leverage over Russia. And we have leverage that we've never had before with Russia and Iran because of our partnership with Saudi Arabia. And someone like Lindsey Graham, who stands there shoulder and shoulder with Menendez, should be ashamed of himself.
Well, you know,
where he stands.
You know, the whole Lindsey Graham, John McCain thing down there in Syria to begin with is very, 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 very suspect even to this day, as it should be, because they were helping and facilitating basically the growth of ISIS along with Hillary Clinton. See, this is the implicator for Lindsey Graham, which I think he's very afraid about. I mean, I think he was coming out and supported Trump and kind of doing the histrionics with Trump a while back, as you may recall. Everybody's going, what's with Lindsey Graham? Well, what's with Lindsey Graham is Lindsey Graham does not want people to find about his involvement with Syria and the growth of ISIS. No one wants that to happen for Lindsey, for at least the Lindsey camp. I'm really happy to see this whole thing happen. And of course, he's very, very upset that Donald Trump is pulling out of Syria. I wonder why.
Yeah, well, you know, I wonder why. You could look to something even more simple, right? Like Tom Steyer. He didn't like the Keystone Pipeline because he had interest in another pipeline.
He had a competing project.
Oh, yeah.
There's
oh,
Leonora Carbota.
Leonora joins us. My gosh.
He had a competing project, right, Paul? So basically, the same thing is true. So he propped up the left in order to get his interests met. Well, the same thing was happening in the Middle East. There's several different competing pipelines lot of oil and a lot of money and a lot of, you know, and they've been dealing with this Middle East assets for ever since the Ottoman Empire collapsed, you know, Sykes and Pico.
Let's hold up for a second here, because you talk about pipelines and you talk about access to pipelines back and forth. The Ukraine is the biggest provider of oil. I mean, this is where all the pipelines, all the natural gas comes in from Russia into Europe is through the Ukraine. There's another asset right there. Gee, why did John Brennan and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and those folks overthrow?
And Bob Mueller.
And Robert Mueller, absolutely. He's inculcated as well. See, hello, Robert. Robert, where were you back in the day? You know, you were there too. See, this is the thing. The reason why they're going after Trump so hard is he's got these secrets. He knows these secrets. It's out. He's got them, and they don't want them. You know, they're going to throw as much mud at him as possible. But this whole pipeline business, it's big here in Northern California. Northern California is just as valuable to this nation as is the Ukraine to all of the former Soviet Union and that whole Eastern European area. People don't realize it. It's all the same. That's why John Brennan has been spotted in Northern California in the recent months.
Right,
hello?
And then I don't know how much time we have. How much time do we have?
You don't have any time because I have to take a break here.
But after the break, 15 seconds. I want to talk about that reverse invasion thing that we were talking about.
Yeah, we could definitely talk about
and
that.
And that ties into the Syria.
Absolutely. Ties into it. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here. We got Leonora with us. Scott just needs to step aside now. We got Leonora. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio.
I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer, to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want Viagra at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-362-3023 today to save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-362-3023 to take your call now. Call 800-362-3023. That's 800-362-3023. Again, 800-362-3023. Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-319-2547 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-319-2547. Again, that's 800-319-2547.
So, the former Secretary of State had an unauthorized server, those are your words, in her basement, correct?
Correct.
Who was protecting that information? Who was protecting that server?
Well, not much.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with all present at the Agenda 21 show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. And also, newcaliforniastate.com. newcaliforniastate.com. Sunday Slam coming up this Sunday. We'll be manning the studio again at 1 o'clock Pacific time because we get all of our emails and all the people calling us and all that good stuff for a couple hours. We really do appreciate your listenership and your participation in the Sunday Slam. And the email address, of course, is paul@a21r.com. paul@a21r.com. Remember to visit that website, of course, a21r.com. That's the shortcut to get to Agenda 21 Radio here on Red State Talk Radio, the talk monster of the United States of America and the world. 36 hours of live talk radio. And with us right now, we've got the wonderful, the fabulous Leonora Cravota. And in the background, we've got Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show. both of them joining us here on Agenda 21 Radio. We're talking about all kinds of things. One of our new hosts brings up this whole thing of the reverse military, I guess you could say, or reverse invasion. Scott, why don't you go ahead and introduce our new host to us? She's not with us right now, but she follows Agenda 21 Radio.
Actually, that particular reverse invasion was my concept.
Okay. Well,
I take credit for that.
I don't know. Are we going to let this guy get away with this sort of thing, Leonora? He's claiming credit for something he didn't do?
No, I will give him credit for this. This was his concept. He's been talking about it for several days now. This was his concept, so he gets the credit for it.
Yeah, but no, Tori is great, and she follows your show. And it's just a wonderful mix. And I think people are really digging it. They're loving it. And we're seeing great numbers as a result of it as well. So it's all good. But, you know, when we talk about – and then Leonora also has something to add about the Harris IT.
You want to start off with that?
Yeah, let's start off with that.
The Harris IT Corporation. And I think what she's talking about
Tori mentioned that.
They received significant government contracts in 2017. But there was an announcement that just came out yesterday. U.S. Army awards Harris Corporation nearly $218 million contract to provide wideband satellite communications mission support. So I think what's behind some of this, and I think what we're going to start to see, is there's probably some infiltration of a nefarious sort coming from here. I mean, I'm trying to research their board a little bit and see if there's anything interesting about that.
That sounds like pay to play. Well, how about the Faruqi brothers, right? Faruqis. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Paul, but the Faruqis had an $8 billion defense spending package.
And then they turned around
to be like the biggest, hugest donors money could buy for not only Obama, but Hillary Clinton. And big donors to the Clinton Foundation.
As I recall, did the Faruqi brothers not build things they were supposed to build? Is that the group? Is that the
right.
guys?
Right. And the $8 billion military contract.
And they didn't do anything with it.
They turned around and then gave a reward, pay to play, pay to play, and paid the Clintons and paid the Obamas big time money to get these contracts.
Right.
It was just basic, complete extortion. I mean, unbelievable corruption. And they were just recently charged and brought to court. Now, they're in court right now in litigation. This is like for real. It's really happening.
But this is also going to implicate the Clintons.
Yes.
Big time, in a big, big way.
And this is going to also involve the $84 million money laundering scheme that the DNC had going, because there was so much money that they couldn't explain away that they had to launder it.
Take it to Vegas, right?
Yeah, crowdsourcing.
Crowdsourcing, right.
You know, like, for example, the Obama Foundation went from $16 million 1 year to $217 million the next year. They got six $25 million anonymous payments. Now, you tell me, and that comes about, 2 years after the Iran nuclear deal and the $1.8 billion in cash that showed up on a plane somewhere? From what I hear, it didn't even go to Iran, actually. And then there was $150 billion. Tell me some people didn't get their palms greased on that.
Well, you know, and I've been hearing this too, that the money didn't go to Iran. This is, stuff that you just hear out there in the ether, and you talk to the people that are really, really, really connected to it, and say, no, it didn't make it, And of course, that's one of the reasons why, if you take a look at what's really going on in Iran with the people, none of that money has ever, of course, gotten to the people of Iran. That's one of the reasons why they have this slow-burning little revolt going on back there. But even the government seems to be strapped. And I say the government of Iran. Did they even get any of it is the question.
That's just it. This was a deal to be made and a deal. And I think a lot of congressmen got paid off. I think that there are a lot of Bob Menendez, Lindsey Grahams, and John McCain's that got fat and rich off of this crap.
Yep.
And this is the biggest problem of all, in my opinion. This is government corruption on steroids. We know about the BlackBerry schemes and the Operation Cassandra and things that were happening out of the House side connected with the Awan brothers and the missing servers
it goes back to California Secretary of State Javier Becerra, as I call him. The sweet little Jesuit that he is from, and of course, the whole state has sweet little Jesuits all over the place, including Governor Jerry Brown. We seem to have a major infestation of them right now. And of course, this is creating major havoc here in the California, as you probably know. Everybody knows. But the Javier Becerra thing is of particular importance because it also even goes to Kamala Harris. It touches her. She's was the previous Secretary of State, and she stepped in to be taking over boxer's position. She was elected to that slot. And then Javier Becerra comes in. He resigns as a House member, comes in and takes over as Attorney General. And, of course, he's just been wreaking havoc here in Jerry Brown with this whole thing with the sanctuary state business. He's all behind all that stuff. So, you know, the complete lawlessness in California of what they have really sort of manufactured up here. But the problems that they have, I think, with this whole Awan brother is still yet to be had out there. I know it's being investigated because I get, you know, my sources tell me this is what's happening and things like that. But this is all going to add into this thing. I think it's going to get to this Harris business.
Well, yeah, that and, you know, these are the same people that actually say, oh, look at how poorly the people that are trying to cross the border, all they want is to be safe and thirsty.
Right.
Or they're look right. at them, they're in a cage, you know, or a Khashoggi. What kind of country are we if we, you know, they're so worried about Khashoggi. They were never worried about Foley and Jihadi John, right? But they're worried about Khashoggi, right?
That's right.
But then the same guy, the Jesuit that you're talking about, Jerry Brown, is like burning people up to death and burning their houses
mass
down
murder.
God knows what reason.
We call it out
there's
here,
so much corruption
out here,
and so much hypocrisy.
Yeah, out here in California, we call what Jerry Brown does mass murder. Mass murder. MASSMURDER. That's what we call it out here.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Straight up. And you know, they're doing it for greed, for filth, for money, for political tactics. And, you know, that's where this reverse invasion thing comes in, too. You know, this whole globalist movement, when we take a look at Syria and what Lindsey Graham is about and all this that's going on down there, the whole thing was, you know, when we would talk about fighting age males leaving the Middle East, leaving Syria and flooding Europe and raping their children, raping their women, these Muslims would be offered up free lodging, free food, free welfare, free medical. And they're doing the same thing in California, as you know, right, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. Inducing these people.
They would offer basically all these carrots. And I was talking to you yesterday about this. You take a matador. So everybody was harping on this invasion into Europe. Look, can't you see it? There are a whole bunch of fighting age men. They're invading Europe. And that could be too true. But there's a reverse way to look at this. And the reverse way is if all the fighting age males leave the battlefield in the Middle East and flood Europe, they're no longer on the battlefield to defend their land rich with oil. So that then makes it so the European Union or the globalists can just walk right into the Middle East, which is their vacation spot anyway. It's where they park their boats down in the Mediterranean off of Egypt, right? And they just go down there. They set up a pipeline from Qatar through Syria, which is no longer existing as if they had their way, right?
Right, if they
and
had
they
their way.
It straight up into Europe. And so they basically win the war without a shot is how they were looking at it. Basically, if we entice the fighting age males to come over to us and join our team, we no longer have a war to fight. We just take their land.
You got to remember.
It's like the matador, the matador is the globalist.
You got to remember, Scott, that it was the Saudis who offered money to pay for our military to do whatever they needed to do to invade Syria. Remember that? About 4 years ago, that was the gig. We're going to pay the United States. And of course, people were like, what? Now it comes out, you know. Your point is well taken. It comes out. They were willing to pay for our military basically to occupy Syria and the Middle East even, which is what we were doing anyway.
Well, the issue too is that, you know, Syria is sort of like a kingdom in itself. The Assad family, that's their castle. They've owned it since the 70s. The Saudi Arabia is a kingdom. Iran is not. It's a theocracy. It's not a kingdom. And so there were battle lines being drawn. And Obama chose Iran. And basically, Iran was after you create the vacuum, you create the destabilization, you destabilize Egypt, destabilize Syria, overthrow Libya. What you have is a big hot mess. And then you embolden and create a more powerful Iran. Now you got dominance over the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and you have dominance or a throughway through Syria with the help of Turkey and Iran. That was the globalist vision, to take over. Basically, if Europe was blue water and Middle East was red water, they saw a big, huge purple lake that doubled their land grab in size. So it's Europe basically then became Middle East became part of Europe and is one big, huge thing. And that would create leverage and power over Russia. That was their plan. And the way they went about it came at a huge expense of loss of life in the Middle East with these policies. The conflicts in Syria cost a lot of lives, a lot of turmoil, and a lot of refugees flooding into Europe, and a lot of Europeans being victimized by this whole transition. But did the power elite even give a crap? Did they even care? No, they didn't. And that's the shame of it. And the people that were behind it are the same kind of people as what you have in California with Jerry Brown.
It's exactly the same. And that's why it's of course, why people are forming New California and revolting, taking on the Yellow Jackets, exactly what France is doing, because they see the same thing. They're suffering the same thing. One of the points I want to make to everybody is if you take a look at a map of the Middle East, and you take a look at where Saudi Arabia is, where Iraq is, where Syria is, and then Turkey, and then you go right across the Black Sea, you're right into the Ukraine, and the Crimea, by the way, is right there. You see, this whole thing was a setup to bring this oil right through into Ukraine and right into Europe by way of Turkey. You can see it's just as obvious as can possibly be. And, of course, at the time when all this was going on, remember, this whole area was considered to be ISIL, the Levant.
In Levant.
Islamic State in Levant, ISIL.
Instead of in Sham.
Exactly. So, in other words, all of Syria, Baghdad, even Israel, Saudi Arabia, all that was considered to be Levant.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And Trump even said clearly, you know, he worded that. He said that about ISIL. And he said, you've never heard anybody in Trump's administration say it.
ISIL.
And yet, to the letter, Obama demanded that every one of his cabinet members say that word.
ISIL, correct. And that's why they were saying it, is because he was laying down, he was giving borders, he was giving sovereignty to ISIS. That's what people need to connect the dot to.
He was giving sovereignty.
The Levant, of course, is that region. It's a legendary region from Syria on down, including Saudi Arabia.
It does not recognize Israel.
No, it does
that's
not.
That's what Levant means.
Right.
That's what, and why people didn't make more of a stink about that, I did all the time. I hated it every single time Obama said it, and it was just disturbing. Well, and the media let it go.
Yep, they jumped on board with it.
Semitic media,
right?
So many Jewish people
voted for Obama and voted
and
for Hillary.
It's so crazy.
Don't get it, but you know I'm not Jewish, so I don't get that.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right that they, you know, it, so this whole thing with oil. Your theory, I think, is a very, very sound one. You've got basically all the fighting age men up in Europe. Of course, they need that up in Europe. That's what they say. They needed men. Oh, sure they did. Yeah, they needed men to basically take over the European Union. But that's not happening anymore. The European Union folks are starting to fight back. And, of course, the big thing in Europe and also in Great Britain is everybody's chanting Trump, 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 Trump. And that's got to really tick off these European Union folks.
But you know what? Yeah. We're not hearing about much in the United States.
It is interesting, though, when Macron starts pounding his chest and talking about a European Union army. I wonder if he would fill them with all those fighting age men.
Right? You got it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Kind of interesting. And, well, you know, it's funny, too, that the whole rioting in France is carbon tax. And you got Jeff Flake and Bob and Coons, you know, basically arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder. And, you know, with the carbon tax, you got Lindsey Graham shoulder to shoulder with Bob Menendez bashing the president and talking about Syria. Same page. All these establishment elites. Lindsey Graham is done. 2020, he is not winning re-election in South Carolina. That's for sure.
And also with regard to Lindsey Graham, you're starting to see a lot of Republicans from different, you know, aspects of the spectrum turn against him.
He is the last
support the president.
He is the last of the Mohicans. You know, we've gotten rid of Corker, Ryan, Flake, John Kasich is done. All of this. But you're going to see them form a party of their own. And you're going to see them try to get 20% of Trump's vote and hand a 2020 victory to a Democrat candidate. they would love nothing more than Trump to end this thing, right? Because Trump is just beating the crap out of them. And they would love nothing more than to see a Democrat take the office over a Trump administration.
But we can't let that happen.
You know, the Bill Kristols of the world are still alive and kicking.
Well, they're crying a little
bit. And
Mitt
Romney, by the way, Paul, you know, Mitt Romney played that same game in Utah, right? He tried a third candidate there. He thought it would prevail. He thought it would be just enough to prevent Trump from winning Utah. But it didn't work.
Didn't work, yeah.
Yeah, so Chris Coons and Jeff Flake, and this is the thing that's kind of popping up, introduce a carbon tax just on and leave town, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And supposedly the only difference between this one and the French one is the French one didn't have a rebate. So, and this one does, but it's not, it doesn't really have any more value.
Trump's never going to sign
it. It's not going to happen.
You know, well, this is it's the just carbon, a parting shot.
This is the carbon tax from the California Air Resources Board that they want.
Yeah.
You see, this all started here in with the California Air Resources Board, run by Mary Nichols, by the way. And it was Mary Nichols that I put out a show about, who was absolutely torturing children in the face of the Nuremberg codes to find out whether diesel fumes will kill them. They did that with UCLA and USC and several other institutions nationally to test that. So they're using 10, 12-year-old kids, usually of illegal aliens, I was told, by a professor at UCLA who was not a party to it, but protesting the use of children being tortured at the hands of Mary Nichols, who runs CARB, the California Air Resources Board. So, you know, we did a story on that. And YouTube took us down and put us in YouTube jail for 6 months because I said threatening content.
Because you were telling the truth, Paul, because this happens in history. If you go back and you look at all the scientific experimentation that happened, some of it happened on slaves at the time and other people, but that's what they did. So the fact that you mentioned that some of them were illegal aliens, it doesn't surprise me.
And that's the point, is that the illegal aliens today, the illegal foreign nationals, are your new slaves. These are the ones that they're trafficking. I tell people this all the time. I've been doing this for years. They're trafficking in human flesh and slavery when you talk about these caravans. Look at the billion-dollar industry that Paul Ryan helped to set up and John Boehner helped to set up and the Obama administration set up that we have now with all the Catholic charities that are at the border that are getting billions of dollars from the federal government to help support these poor, destitute, illegal foreign nationals who, by the way, have been hustled and paid $10,000 a head to come up to the coyotes across the border and find themselves living in these charities, all funded by us. That's trafficking in human flesh and slavery. They're being bought and paid for.
Right, through government dollars as well. But, you know, that's akin to treason. And I think that there's a lot of things that we're going to learn about Lindsey Graham and John McCain and David Cramer and that whole group and Mueller and all these other people. They're going to be akin to treason. And I just hope that the millions and millions of dollars that we're spending on Gitmo right now on the military tribunal court room and the legals and lawyers, the JAG officers, they're going to be down there, are going to put that stuff to good use. I really think that in a lot of ways, a lot of what we're going to see go down is, you know, like when you listen to Comey speak, right? He's always burying the lead, or he's always saying, I can't talk about that, that's classified. I can't talk about that, that's under litigation. I can't talk about that, that's in the courts. So that kind of thing plays well, where it's really hard to put the pinch on Hillary Clinton or James Comey or a lot of John Brennan. But the way you get them is through treason. You know, John Kerry has clearly violated the Logan Act, right? But you can't get them in the regular court system. So you bring them down to Gitmo and use the military tribunal system. And it's interesting
as
that
world leaders are set to gather in Poland to fine-tune the Paris Climate Agreement, President Donald Trump is continuing.
All right, sorry about that.
But it's interesting that Lindsey Graham brings up during the Kavanaugh committee hearing about the military tribunals, and Kavanaugh supported them, right? So, you know, it could very well be that Lindsey Graham will be a victim of his own
devices,
rhetoric,
right?
When it's all said and done. But there is a lot of investment going on right now in Gitmo, and you know, that's happening for a reason. We are not clear exactly what's going to be happening down there, but things are going to be happening in Gitmo.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, even trials that are taking place right now, like you mentioned earlier, we're talking earlier about these two brothers that put out this $8 billion thing, and all the money was basically, they were brought. That trial is ongoing, and this is a real trial that has real implications for the Clintons and everybody else. This is the first one of these trials, and we said that this was going to start happening within the second year, third and fourth year, and here it is. This is just one. And by the way, the tentacles on this are enormous, all the way to California, Javier Becerra. So those that see, I get all my people tell me, you know, I get bombarded. When's this going to happen? Who's going to arrest who? When's, you know, it is happening, and it's happening now in this trial. And again, I want to tell people the best kind of leadership is the leadership never seen. And Donald Trump and even Jeff Sessions, they have structured something going forward that's starting to unfold now.
And Matthew Whitaker was just cleared by the ethics panel, the DOJ ethics. So he has got the green light to do anything he wants now.
Yep.
And he doesn't have to recuse himself from that. That just happened
yesterday or the day before. So
he said he's not going to recuse himself from Mueller.
No,
Mueller
he's not. And he's cleared with the ethics. So that means that Chuck Schumer and a whole bunch of establishment elite can't say anything about his conflicts or whether he should recuse himself or any of the kind, because he's been cleared with the ethics panel. He's clear. So he could do anything he wants as the acting attorney general at this point forward. And this just happened. So again, to your point, Paul, these things do take time, you know, and there is a sequence that has to happen in order to do it right. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, you know, this is, and I try and tell people, you got to be patient. You know, it's only been 2 years. This guy's done a fantastic job.
Not even 2 years.
Yeah, not even 2 years. He's done a fantastic job. And, of course, you got now Mad Dog Mattis is leaving. Of course, I think that's because of the Syria situation, which I applaud because they should never have been in Syria. This is the Syrian situation and this whole idea that now ISIS is going to reform like it did with Obama. Learn your BS. I was listening to some guys last night on the radio, national people, just lambasting Trump. I'm going, you silly, you fools. It was Trump, or it was Obama, and it was Clinton who paid for ISIS. You think Trump is going to pay for ISIS to come back and resurrect itself in Syria? Are you nuts?
Absolutely. You nailed it, Paul. That's so true.
These people, you know, these are national level people. And, you know, I don't want to say the Rush name, but, you know, you got Rush Limbaugh out there. And, of course, what's her name?
Ann Coulter.
And of course,
she's predicting that Kamala Harris is going to be the next president. You know what's going to come out, Paul? They're going to remind everybody about how she raided the home of I think his last name is Delayed, and the guy who caught the films of Planned Parenthood joking about selling fetal parts for money.
Right.
She did a raid on that guy's house.
Kamala Harris is never going to be president.
And people are going to bring that.
She doesn't have the temperament.
People are going to bring that up when she tries to run.
Well, there's a lot of things on Kamala Harris, as we all know out here in California, and we'll kind of keep you in touch about that one, because there's no way she's going to be the president, even though they think they've got all the electoral systems nailed down there. Anyway, we got to run for time. Okay, Scott, tell us about your show. Oh, actually, Leonora probably could, but either one.
Let him do it. Let him.
ScottAdamsShow.com, Red State Talk Radio. We're live 8 a.m. We're going to have a big announcement about some terrestrial time down the road, but 8 a.m. Eastern time, Red State Talk Radio weekdays for the Scott Adams Show. And we have a great lineup. It starts off with Larry Freese, Scott Adams Show, the great Paul Preston, Agenda 21, and then we have Tori Lindemann for Tori Says following Paul Preston. It's just a great lineup that we have.
Yeah, it's really turning out to be fantastic. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
And it's going to be a really wonderful 2019. I can sense
it
already. Thanks for being with us on Agenda 21 Radio.
Bye-bye.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of here for this hour. Stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio. And remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.